Stay with us on KISU for Know Your Media with your host, Dr. Zach Gershberg, next.
Hello and welcome to the September edition of Know Your Media on KISU-FM. I am Zach Gershberg, your host, and this month we are joined by Kyle Fonensteel of the Idaho Falls Post-Register newspaper. Kyle, welcome to Know Your Media.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Kyle is a University of Idaho graduate, and he is a public health reporter for the Post-Register in Idaho Falls. He covers rural healthcare and actually has his position as part of Report for America, a ground truth project, which is really interesting, where it is a combination of national grants, the local media organization, as well as donations to support it. So Kyle is one of 200 reporters nationwide. The project hopes to place 1,000 local reporters by 2024. And Kyle, that's a really exciting position. And little did you know, as a health reporter, that you would be covering a global pandemic of a novel coronavirus. So that must have been crazy for you.
Little did everybody know. I mean, a lot of my conceptions about what the job would be have changed a lot. The backdrop for the job, I applied in January. The job application period closed January 31st. But I mean, Idaho's Medicaid expansion had just gone into place. And I expected to be reporting on the tens of thousands of low-income Idahoans who had access to healthcare now, driving out to rural areas and interviewing folks about how this public program faced some of their address some of their challenges. But now it's been a lot of going and even door knocking can be intimidating now. I just did that a couple weeks ago in Du Bois, and it was a little bit surreal, like door knocking and wearing a mask and standing 10 feet away from a door and saying hi to people. It definitely is nowhere near what I expected to get into with this program.
Especially trying to interview them through a mask, which really changes up the dynamic of journalistic reporting and conducting interviews, right?
Yeah, it's very difficult to establish community or to report in communities where they often don't have a reporter. And oftentimes if I'm going into community, it feels like I'm parachuting to some extent, because that's what a lot of reporters are sometimes accused of or sometimes do. So that's been difficult, and I've felt like things have been a little more apprehensive. I can't make things a little bit more calm by smiling or reducing tension.
Sure.
It's been different.
And it's an important question, because we often hear about how the media kind of comes from these coastal elites and these large media organizations. Well, on the one hand, that's always been true. But on the other hand, we've had the rise of what we call news deserts. And that's communities, counties without a local news source. We've seen over 2,000 newspapers close in the last 16 years. And so it's kind of really exciting to see a nonprofit sort of trend work with commercial newspapers like the Post-Register that's dealing with a number of East Idaho counties outside of, say, Bonneville, Bingham, and Bannock, to try to understand how they have access to health coverage and medical care. And that's something that also seems to have been sort of missing, especially since the pandemic first hit Seattle and then New York City and New Jersey in particular. So how has the pandemic affected some of the rural counties that you were covering, before this sort of went global and nationwide?
I think, in a lot of these counties, they didn't have a case by June or July. I think even in July, heading into maybe mid-July, two counties down here did not yet have a case.
Okay.
Butte County and Clark County. And they're some of Idaho's smallest counties. I think right. Butte is less than 3,000. Clark, around 850 residents.
Sure.
but it still had affected them. I mean, if you walked around town, you'd see people, some people wearing masks when they walk on the sidewalks. You'd see doors on businesses in counties where there weren't public health orders,
right,
mandating social distancing. You'd be signs on businesses that said, please wear a mask, or only one person can come into the library at a time and stuff like that. So I think it left a lot of people untouched. You know, anybody you talk to, it still affected them. A lot of these counties in this area, between the stretch of the eastern stretch of Idaho going into Wyoming or Montana, a lot of them are, tourism is a very vital industry. People, sure, pass on the highways, go to their restaurants. And that's something I also heard a lot of, was businesses were suffering because there wasn't as much traveling.
Right.
And
that I-15 corridor really seemed to slow down a bit this summer. Absolutely. You know, and one of the things that I think is so cool about this sort of Report for America model is that not only you're working for the Post Register in Idaho Falls, the Post Register is owned by the Adams Publishing Group, which also owns the Idaho State Journal. But specifically, you're not just focusing on Idaho, on healthcare and how it affects Idaho Falls or even Rexburg. You're specifically focused on, in those counties, but then also some of these counties that don't have viable information news sources or certain maybe medical facilities that a place like Idaho Falls does have.
Yeah. It's kind of somewhat of the theme of the region is that, you know, if you want to access healthcare and you're in a rural county, and you may have a rural doctor, you may have a few rural doctors, but or you may have a small hospital, but they may not have the facilities to deal with if you're if you have a premature baby and they're a few too many weeks old and they have to be cared for. Oftentimes that means you're driving to Idaho Falls or you're getting medevac to Idaho Falls.
Wow.
And you're having to drive, and it's, I think that's a really stark story. One story I got to tell, I was really, really happy, was get to celebrate our Ronald McDonald family room. Just celebrated the 1 year anniversary here, at right outside Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. That was one of the few happy stories I've gotten to tell in my first few months on the job during a global pandemic. But yeah, that's too often the story here, but I mean, there are more nuanced stories within that. Like some of these rural hospitals are really expanding. They're doing a lot of testing.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, in so, what were some of the challenges, at least in rural East Idaho? What were some of the healthcare challenges that existed before the pandemic? You mentioned the transportation issues, but before the world changed, which resultingly changed your position in some ways in terms of what you're going to be covering, what were you sort of planning on covering, and what were some of the issues that our residents who live in more rural counties in Idaho, what do they face, and has the Medicaid expansion, has that helped?
So I guess the two most significant issues that really come to mind is the doctor shortage in Idaho. That's one of the sharpest in the nation. There's been a lot of effort to expand that in Idaho over years of graduate medical education programs and medical residency programs, like Idaho State University is doing, trying to place people in rural tracks. Within that, I think there's also a mental health component. Like, we have a drastic shortage of psychiatrists. Even if you Google psychiatrists in Eastern Idaho, the number's going to be pretty small for what is a pretty sizable population. I think those that's one big piece of the issue, is we just don't have enough doctors to serve people's needs. Another issue is that broadband connection is sometimes pretty spotty in some of these rural areas. And I think that creates an atmosphere in which it's very difficult to access medical care. And that's why I say it oftentimes involves transportation, because if you aren't able to do a telehealth appointment, and Skype, or I mean, now you can even call your doctor through changes in state regulations. But if you weren't able to talk to your doctor virtually from home, you're going to have to drive. And if there isn't a doctor in your county or your town, you're going to have to drive too. But
yeah,
the pandemic has, no, I don't think it's changed those issues. I think they've just made them a little bit more acute, I guess, which is the theme of every healthcare story right now.
Right. I mean, these things all go together, and it's really, it seems as though the pandemic has clarified the importance of having access to digital communications, the access to accurate news information sources, as well as access to adequate healthcare. And that's something where, in larger places where telecommunications networks are stronger, you may have more people being able to work via Zoom or go to school via Zoom. But the delivery mechanisms for communication, information, and healthcare all seem to sort of run together there.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is, I mean, I think a common line on like every story I've done was like that this problem existed before COVID. COVID just kind of brought out these disparities or these issues and just made them a little bit more prominent. Right. You could not ignore them.
Sure. Sure. And again, we're with Kyle Fonenstiel, from the rural healthcare reporter for the Idaho Falls Post-Register newspaper. Kyle is a University of Idaho graduate, though I did hear a little shout out to the Idaho State University Medical School, which we certainly appreciate. But, you know, Kyle, I guess one of the weird things is you were tasked in this position before the pandemic to cover rural healthcare issues. And then, but you're writing and reporting for an Idaho Falls newspaper, and your work sometimes is published down here with the Idaho State Journal, since the publishing group owns the same publishing group owns both newspapers. And so I guess, is it a little odd, because in covering the pandemic, we know COVID-19 affects places, right, with urban density a little bit more. And so I know you've been writing some coverage about how, say, issues in Bonneville County, which has, you know, over double the infection rate than Banner County down here. So has it been a little odd, on the one hand, trying to cover rural health issues in some of these outlying counties in the eastern part of the state, but then you do have to focus on what's going on in IF, in Rexburg, and some of these other places?
Yeah, it's been a lot of juggling.
Okay. What can you maybe tell us, just in working with some of the East Idaho health officials? Have you seen differences within the health communities, for instance, with in any contrast between how IF may be handling it and other communities?
Well, I think it's all, I guess first it's resource-based. Testing is a lot different in different areas of the state where you can go to, whether you have a place with a large amount of PCR tests or the ability to do it all. When in rural hospitals, sometimes and often do have their own capacity to process antigen tests, and they've had that for a while. And I think that was one difference in doing that, the ability to do testing from the start. We honestly did not have a lot of data on local testing for a long time, and we still don't have data on testing per county. But anecdotally, I think that was the big difference I've heard. But I think by and large, the theme I've heard is public health officials are kind of trying to embark on this campaign. Wash your hands, wear your mask,
right,
stay socially distant. It's kind of, you know, they're all beating the same drum.
Sure.
I think that's kind of the biggest similarity I can find. And,
one of the things that I found a little bit strange is that there's an Eastern Idaho Health District and then a Southeastern Idaho health district. So it's not really, Idaho has that funky shape, so it's sort of cut off. So it's not northeastern Idaho, it's just eastern Idaho. But that means sort of above essentially Blackfoot in a sense. So one thing I did want to bring up, I am curious about, because again, something I found strange in Bannock County, our numbers are, lower than Bonneville, but I've been surprised at some of those counties out by your way have had mask ordinances, which we haven't had down here. And I'm just curious, how has that gone over in some of these counties that are more rural, more conservative? Seen some resistance in local as well as national media, as well as local, as well as national politics about the wearing of masks and the social distancing within businesses and everything like that. So I'm just curious, how has that complicated your position at all? and do you see any improvement in some of the numbers?
I read the Facebook comments.
Okay.
So I know that it's a mixed bag, but I think for the most part, as people say, it's a vocal minority is what a lot of people say about the vocal mass protesters. But I myself haven't seen or really heard of large instances of people protesting masks in okay. Eastern Idaho. I don't think we've had those same kind of okay. acute protests as have happened in Treasure Valley and the Boise area.
Okay.
But I think you've seen some improvement in active case counts in Eastern Idaho counties, because for the most part, Bonneville has had a mandate for over a month, and it hasn't okay. been lifted. Because the Eastern Idaho Public Health District, they levy their mandates based on active case rates, and
right.
It's basically if you test positive, it's the time in which it's the time before you stop experiencing symptoms.
Have other counties in the East Idaho Health District lifted some of the mask ordinances?
Yeah. The regional health board has they've lifted and now they're kind of in the state where they're lifting and reinstating them just today or just yesterday. Is it Monday? It is Monday.
Yes.
just today they reinstated a mandate in Fremont County. That was at like 7:30 a.m. Maybe it feels like yesterday okay. that way. But they reinstated one there. They had lifted it 2 weeks prior, and they had put it in place 2 weeks before that. So they base it on that. So anecdotally, we are seeing improvement in active case rates, and they're fluctuating in Teton County. Teton was the first round here that saw a mask mandate from the sure. health district. They got it put on. They got it lifted. Their cases went back up. They put it back down. And they just recently lifted it again. So I think you're seeing some improvement in rural counties from their case rates. Health officials are saying that this is a benefit. Like we're seeing the results of mask mandates, but there are so many different things that are complicating the situation. Right. Now schools starting up and it's also been months since the pandemic wears. So I think there's a lot going into it and
okay.
So I think that's why we're seeing variability.
And I'm curious too, did the Medicaid expansion, has that had any sort of impact on issues of testing or responses to healthcare resources for maybe those people who have tested positive and showed symptoms?
I don't know. I think in a lot of cases, a lot of insurers were waiving costs for testing
okay.
and stuff like that. So I think at least on the question of testing, from what I know, I don't think that
okay.
would have made a big difference. But
okay. Yeah. What are, the pandemic, obviously, I mean, we have, we're speaking in mid-September here, close to 200,000 people have died nationally. Over 400 people have died within the state due to COVID-19. And so I guess the question is, we know that, this thing could be deadly, and the infection can and how it spreads. But I guess amid all that, what are maybe some of the health concerns, or how is the pandemic impacting just your garden variety health problems that we face here in Eastern Idaho? I mean, so this, I guess I'm asking you, Kyle, you know, between your position as it was supposed to be and the position as it became, are some things that are really important flying under the radar here? Or is everything in a holding pattern?
I have a long commute to work, and I get a lot of time to think about what these numbers mean. And I think just last week I was like realizing as we're kind of seeing a spike in deaths around here, I'm kind of realizing that like I'm deeply disturbed by the type of horse race coverage that the pandemic requires. Like it's really debilitating. Sure. and really sad. And I think sometimes we miss out on a lot of those deeper stories. But I do think we don't know. I think that's a lot of things that we've heard. I mean, back in June, a lot of doctors were saying that they were nervous about how health outcomes would look like.
Right.
Because of the pandemic, because people were scared to go to the ER, they were scared to go to the grocery store, people were sure. nervous about everything in the beginning. And I think some of that tension is easing, but I don't know the real conclusion of that. But I definitely think it does have a spinning effect. I mean, you hear commonly, the big discussion that we're having down here about school reopening is about, what's best for kids' mental health. And how to prevent isolation. And I mean, my little brother's heading back to high school or he is back in high school in Idle Falls. And okay. So, I don't think we know yet, or at least I don't know yet.
Okay.
I do think it has to deal with a lot of things, but I think like in me saying that I don't know, or we don't know, I think there's a lot you can fill in the gaps with. And I guess that's a transition into like, what interviewing public health officials and public leaders has been like right now. You probably noticed that like I say I don't know or we don't know a lot, and that's been kind of a theme during the pandemic. But
well, I think maybe for some people it has. Some people always know what's going on and are unafraid to speak their mind. I think it's a good dose of humility, and I think any clear minded look at how this pandemic started, how it played out, what has been emphasized, the 200,000 people, 200,000 people, Americans passing away. It's just, it is a giant dose of sort of humility. And so I think it's okay to say that rather than to come on the air and BS me that we have all the answers, because I think there's plenty of that going on. And I think, again, we're here with Kyle Fanensteel of the Post Register, who covers healthcare issues in East Idaho. So, Kyle, I mean, that's a good transition in some ways to asking you about, you're covering issues of healthcare during this pandemic. So, number one, you are a reporter of what has been identified as, fake news, right? And then number two, you're covering healthcare issues, which has been seen as, it's just all politicized to, hurt businesses or hurt President Donald Trump or anything like that. So I'm curious, as a newspaper reporter, right, who's part of this Report for America project to deliver local news. So I mean, I'm just curious, knowing, as you pointed out, the Facebook comments, we live in the age of misinformation. How have you been able to juggle all that? Like, is it dispiriting? Is it ennobling? I'm just curious what goes through your mind listening to nonsense or reading it online and then trying to keep your head down, talk to people, and provide accurate information.
It's given me a good insight into where some people are. And I mean, occasionally you do get good comments. Occasionally you get compliments, but I think those are few and far between. But it does give me good context as to what people are thinking, and I think oftentimes when we don't have a clear answer, we might turn to an answer. I think that's more comfortable for me, especially. But I have to combat that, obviously, in trying to portray a very accurate representation of what happened. So a lot of that does guide some of my questions and some of my reporting to kind of like understand, you know, where people are at, where we're thinking, and it does make me. I do get story ideas from Twitter comments and Twitter threads and Facebook comments. Okay. And it does make, and I think there's a broad engagement in the political spectrum. I don't think it's just fake news. And it's encouraging. And I've gotten some very good story ideas out of it. And it makes me second guess my assumptions.
Okay.
Some of the questions that people ask and how we're doing. And sometimes if I ask the question, I'll get an we don't know or I don't know from officials or from doctors. But I mean, oftentimes I think there's that gray area between the we don't know, like we don't know this exact answer, but okay. We know X, Y, Z under this. Okay. And we may not be able to have a full picture, but we can explain some parts of it. And I think that's been kind of the theme of this job is kind of it may not be black and white, but you can fill in the gray a little bit.
Well, I'm sure there's some frustrations maybe along the way as well. You know, the other thing, Kyle, I'm curious about, just as a reporter based out of IF, you're covering these rural counties, as well as sort of tangentially all of Eastern Idaho, including Southeast Idaho. But one thing I wanted to ask is, I'm struck by that, you know, as of our discussion today, in mid-September, you know, Bonneville County is reporting, close to triple the infections that Bannock County is reporting, and they have somewhat similar populations. And I'm just, is there anything that might help explain? I know you're not based down here necessarily, but I'm just curious what could potentially explain for the discrepancy.
I wish I knew.
That's something.
I mean, I wish I knew. I have family in Pocatello and in Idaho Falls.
Okay.
And I'm in light quarantine mode right now.
Oh, okay.
I wish it were better between both areas, but I wish I knew.
Okay. No, that's, I mean, I'd rather you give us a honest non-answer than a dishonest full answer. But
I mean, I wish I knew, but I think there is some gray area. I mean, Bonneville has had mask mandates and social restrictions by the regional board of health for since late July, and cases have remained, the active case rates remained relatively stable over the past few weeks. Huh. It's been, I think that it's very easy to get caught up in, we're in a decline or in a slow, but, I mean, we're below the spike we were in July, but it's still nowhere near, it's still much worse than it was prior to July.
Okay.
And I don't think the baseline is to compare it to the spike. I think it's accurate to say that it cases are still pretty high in Bonneville. And I think it's a good reminder that we're not out of a pandemic, but I can't explain why it's why the disconnect between Bannock's and Bonneville's numbers.
Well, but I'm sure it's something we'll continue to monitor, and you're going to be on the sort of front lines trying to make sense of this all and provide information, dealing with various citizens, politicians, healthcare professionals. And that is no easy task, especially in a presidential election year either, where emotions run at a kind of fever pitch. But Kyle Fanenstiel from the Post Register has been with us today for Know Your Media. Kyle, wow, thank you so much for coming along and staying here and talking to us today. I know you're pretty busy covering quite a big beat. So I just really want to thank you and wish you well, moving forward I think it's a really cool project, this Report for America, how it places local journalists. And so are you in that position for a year? Is that correct?
Yep. I started June 1st of 2020, and I'm here for a year.
Okay.
And it survives off donations, so don't be a stranger. self-plug. But okay. I really love the work that they do. They're expanding so much. And I mean, even if you're in a different part of Idaho, they're in South Central Idaho, Boise State Public Radio has Report for America, core member, and parts of different states do too. And it's a really interesting mission. And I think it'll be awesome to see it blossom and get to 1,000 reporters and see what it keeps doing. I'm glad to be part of the ride.
Okay, cool. Well, Kyle, thank you for joining us today. This was the September edition of Know Your Media. We were joined by Kyle Fanenstiel from the Post Register. I'm Zach Gershberg, your host, and we look forward to having you with us next month in October. Thank you for listening.
Know Your Media typically airs on the second Monday of every month at 7:30 p.m. right here on KISU FM. You can find this and all past episodes of Know Your Media available for streaming at any time at kisu.org. Click on Programs and Know Your Media.